We're going to be talking now about humor, because a people smart in ministry quality that blesses others is when you have that sunny side to your personality, can see things at times in a humorous way. Now, as we go into this subject, understand that most of the material out there on humor in the general population, in the general audiences, is humor that does not follow the biblical guidelines. Throughout the history of the church, many generations just said, don't be humorous at all, forget it, because of some of the pitfalls that come with humor. But we know that Jesus used humor. We know the Apostle Paul did. We know humor is in the Old and New Testament. So we as Christians look for that redeemed humor. And we're going to talk today about humor. In another session, we're going to talk about sort of a general audience, some of the guidelines we can learn from the general audience. And then we're going to talk about a book written that specifically deals with biblical incidences of humor and how humor was in the Bible and how many others have talked about humor. So, what are some of the scriptural guidelines? Well, Ephesians 5 verse 4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. When I looked at those Greek words, obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, what they were talking about, obscenity was dealing with putting sexuality in a wrong light that doesn't glorify God. Foolish talk was talk that was just unprofitable, talk totally out of context, just vicarious barnyard talk or talk that just constantly had words that are considered cursing in a culture. Coarse joking, that coarse joking is basically joking that just knocks people down, rough joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So there's one scriptural guideline. Another one, like a madman shooting firebrands or a deadly arrow, is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. The scripture does not want you to use humor to somehow send barbs and then use the I was only joking card. Another one is humor that is mocking or giving someone a hard time, tearing someone down, not building up. We read in Romans 15, verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. So that type of humor, of tear-down humor, does not have a place in a Christian leader or even in the Christian church. There's a hidden agenda humor that you see in our culture so often, sort of a truth in jest thing, a disguised control or judgment of some sort. I remember when I was in my first church, there was one man who said that, and he would say this often, yeah, he can sell ice to Eskimos. And he would say those things, but it was a truth in jest. He really didn't like my sermons. He just thought I was a salesy person. So there was a little bit of a truth in jest operating there. Matthew 5 verse 37 says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. There's gossiping humor out there right now, joking about someone who isn't in your conversation. Discounting humor, where basically you'll talk about someone and then in order to elevate yourself, you'll say one thing funny about that person, but it sort of knocks that person down. Or in that talking about other people and saying funny things about them, there's self-promoting humor at someone else's expense. Proverbs 26, verse 22, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. So gossipy humor is very, very common in our general culture. But so is hostile humor, humor that makes abusive behavior seem funny. Where, you know, people are saying things such as, related to doing harm and somehow making it funny. You see a lot in the general culture about guns and shooting and killing and dying and all of these things. It's like, you know, as Christians, you know, that hostile humor is not something that we should learn how to do. Ephesians 4 verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Sarcasm, criticism, or unflattering comparison in the close of humor, where you mumble something under your breath and it's like kind of funny, but really it's sarcastic. It's something unflattering. It's a criticism disguised in a cheap laugh. The cheapest form of laugh is sarcasm. If you do sarcasm, stop. Stop it entirely. If you've hurt people by sarcasm, sarcasm is something that Christian leaders have to just get rid of. And when it happens, have your spouse or a friend call you on it. You don't, as a Christian, want to be sarcastic. Psalm 55, verse 21. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. That's how sarcasm is. Smooth sort of talk, but war underneath. You know, I once was talking to a prominent leader in our country, and he was so opposed to sarcasm, and he said, if somebody is sarcastic, I immediately do not trust them no matter what. If I hear their sarcasm, I don't trust them on anything. And I said to the leader, how can you say anything? And he said, my experience has been that people who are sarcastic are people who ultimately will never be on any team I want to be on. Whoa. So as a Christian leader, if you struggle with sarcasm, find a way to overcome that struggle. There's no place for that in church, in work, in ministry. Now, you might disagree with a piece of that and say, well, what about irony? Yeah, the difference between sarcasm and irony. But if you're someone who's just a positive person and you use irony, that's different than sarcasm, and be sure you know the difference. Crude humor. Sexual humor that degrades the gift of sexuality. Now, in marriage with a husband and a wife in a positive sense, there could be many examples, fun examples of humorous moments in sexuality. But as someone who's just degrading sexuality and cheapening it, there is no place for that. Romans 1 verse 24, therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. You know, crude humor, sexual humor is all over our society. And it's all over in a way that does not honor the gift of sexuality or marriage anymore. So as a Christian, stay away from crude humor. And when you hear it, just ignore it. Morally or God-insulting humor. Humor that needs swearing on God's name or morally inappropriate words, images, metaphors to make it funny. We read in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. If using God's name is the punchline or part of making something funny, do not use God's name in the name of making something funny. In general, stay away from using God's name in your humor. Racial, ethnic, class, disability. Humor that puts down another ethnic, race, class, group, disability. These are all things that just stay away from. Psalm 72, verse 11. All kings will bow down to him and all nations will serve him. That's the reality, is God has everything in his hands. And know that we have no right to just look at somebody, let's say a person with disability, and poke fun at their disability, or to poke fun at an ethnic group or a race class group. Why would we do that? These are God's creation. The kings are God's creation. And be careful about politic jokes. We're going to talk more about politic jokes in later presentations. James 2 verse 1, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. In other words, do not use humor to sort of put one class down or one ethnic group down, or just stay away from that. Gender aggressive or passive aggressive humor. This is very controversial. As Christians, most of us disagree with any other premise other than one man, one woman marriage, for instance. However, in our society is a whole group of people that strongly disagree on some of the things that you may read the Bible and come to believe in your heart. This does not mean that we in any way will have a humor that is aggressive or passive aggressive to people that we strongly disagree with on certain subjects. And gender is one of those things that's in the news all the time right now. So male, female, gay, lesbian, transgender, the essence of it all is 1 Peter 2:17. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. You see that idea, proper respect. Anyone that God brings in our life, let's give proper respect. And bringing proper respect is not making jokes or not in any way using passive aggressive or aggressive type of humor to put anybody down. In fact, Christians should be known as those who love everybody in the name of Christ. They're the ones that go the extra mile, that turn the other cheek. Those who you disagree with Christians, they pray for you. They don't necessarily judge you. We see the example of Jesus with the woman caught in adultery, and Jesus, you know, picks up the stone and said, you know, if anyone has no sin, let him cast this first stone. So we have to be very careful to, even in people that we disagree, and there's a lot of people that we may disagree with, but do not poke fun in an aggressive manner. So what are some of the elements we're going to look at in the next few weeks? We're going to look at the element of surprise. So what is humor? What makes humor? Surprise. What elements of surprise that perk interest? The fact is with all the biblical guidelines of what not to do, there is millions of opportunities to share humor of things that are surprising. They're everywhere. And we don't have to use cheap tricks of crude language to get someone to laugh. Shared community, we're going to talk about that. How can we share this humor in as something we all experience? And that's part of things. And you see, when shared community doesn't happen, if you're in a group of friends and something funny happens, and then you go to dinner and one person comes into the group that wasn't there when something funny happened, and then you retell that and everybody laughs, but that person that wasn't there just sort of sits there because that person did not share that moment. You know, so then we say, you had to be there. We're going to talk about shared community, how we can have humor that is something that the whole group that we're working with as leaders, we have a shared community. We have the Bible. We have our Christian walk. We have our church experience. There's many things that we share. Artful elaboration. That's that playful exaggeration that has nothing or little to do with needing truth in that moment or evidence or citation in the narrative. So we're going to talk about that in this presentation, how to exaggerate in a God-glorifying way. We're also going to talk about larger-than-life humor, you know, changing the venue of humor to make it larger than life. Jesus did this in parables, such things as the rich man and Lazarus. In some ways, everything became larger than life in that story, that narrative, and other parables, you know, where we're talking about, like, and the king was going out to make war, and he had to consider these things, and then how do you build your life on, you know, the rock and not on the sand? You know, it makes sand and rocks larger than life. There's something humorous about that, something winsome that you want to listen to. But in the end of the day, how do you know if something is good humor? Ask yourself this question. Is it loving humor? By saying this joke or having that fun moment, will people perceive it as loving humor? Never forget 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding clang or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. As you go on this journey of learning how to improve that people smart quality of humor, here's just a few of my concluding thoughts on this. One, let's take the biblical guidelines seriously. But let's not be so moralistic about the biblical guidelines that in the process of taking them seriously, we don't see the appropriate forms of humor. I'll give you an example of that is sexual humor in a marriage-only relationship that's exclusive with your spouse is fine. But be very, very careful about using that type of humor in a way that's outside the marriage bed. It becomes crude when it dishonors God. Be very careful about tearing someone down, that we're to love people. And these biblical guidelines are for our benefit. Through much of the church, as I mentioned earlier, has sort of said we're not even doing anything with humor. And then the general culture has been doing everything with humor. This ought not be. Every inch of this life is to be redeemed and glorify God. And humor is one of those inches, one of those square feet of God's creation that can be brought into our people smart skills and repertoire that we might truly use humor that blesses others.